You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network each Friday. We do a little segment we like to call Ask Maggie, where my senior producer, Jamie, has carefully curated all of your questions for me, which you can submit any which way you'd like, phone, text. But you can almost be guaranteed that Jamie will get eyes on your question if you send it to askmaggie@civicmedia.us. That email address, again, is askmaggie@civicmedia.us. I have a lot of fun with it. We hope you all do, too. And, of course, the bit here is, as you know, if you've been listening for a little while, I like to talk. I can carry on a little bit, get myself, you know, all lathered up. Yeah, in a little bit of a tizzy, hair on fire, pick your tortured metaphor. And in this segment, I only have 30 or 60 seconds, somewhat arbitrarily decided by no one that is named Maggie, but everybody who is named both Cal and Jamie. So it's a lot of fun. So you can join us this afternoon, 855-752-4842. If you've got a longer question, something that needs a little bit more explanation, or you just want to email it in, again, that's askmaggie@civicmedia.us. With that, I will hand it over to my most fabulous senior producer, Jamie. Welcome back. You've been traveling this week. You were in Vegas.
I have.
My goodness.
So glad to be home.
You survived. Yes.
It's so glad to be home, I have to say. You know, there's nothing like actually landing at the airport. And let me tell you, we had some fabulous pilots. It was a rough landing coming back into the Milwaukee airport. So I was glad to be off the plane back in Wisconsin. And I'm actually mobile again today. So the puppy's having some minor surgery. So I'm actually in one of our wonderful Civic studios in Baraboo.
Hello to everyone in Baraboo.
Right. They're gracious enough to allow me a little space today. So I'm glad to be here for sure. They get some new digs here, too. So it's kind of fun.
I've been hearing, buzz about some new improvements in Baraboo.
Yes. There's some good stuff happening here, as there is across the entire Civic Network, which we're always glad to talk about. But we have some really, really great questions for you today. There's a little mix of some fun stuff, some more serious stuff. So I'm going to start out with one serious question, okay? And this actually comes to us from Gordon in Madison. He actually emailed this to us. And he wants to know more about what the local government is doing, not just what they're talking about, but what they're actually doing right now. He wants to know from you, are they passing local laws to make Wisconsin a place where people, especially the traditionally underserved populations, including the Native Americans, English as a second language families, the working poor, the homeless, etc., feel safe, respected, and welcomed? And this is kind of one of those questions that's going to be a little encompassing. So Cal, we're going to give her 60 seconds for this one. So Maggie, what are we doing on a local level to make sure that everybody feels welcome and safe? Go.
Well, I'm going to speak predominantly to what is going on in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. And I think you can take these initiatives and things and think about them and then reach out to your local governments and ask them what they're doing along similar lines. The first thing is, in Milwaukee County, we have created data dashboards on almost every measure that is included in social determinants of health. So educational access, healthcare access, food deserts, the whole nine yards, including very clear metrics on, for example, if people start testing positive for measles, we put that out on one of our data dashboards. We had one for COVID infection rates and hospitalizations. Why is this important when it comes to underserved communities? Because if we don't know what's going on in our underserved communities and we're not actually collecting any data that shows us where people in our communities are hurting, we can't address those problems. this is one of those themes that you'll hear me talk quite, and I apologize for going over, but it's broader than the question.
You should on this one.
Yeah. This is one of those issues that I, as a data scientist, as an economist, as a lawyer, as someone who worked in local government, has advised state government officials, who worked for a federal court judge, who has done, again, data analysis my entire life. Unless we've got good data about things, then everybody's just BSing. And so there has been in the past, and I think, you know, this is the political side of this, is Donald Trump is literally trying to dismantle some of the data collection and publication that American citizens and data scientists and academics and researchers have relied on for a long time. So everybody should be calling their state and local governments, and I don't care who you voted for. If we believe in local governments, right, if even if you're a conservative, hey, less federal government, more local government, hey, what data are you collecting? How do I get a hold of it? Do you have data dashboards? Where can I see where that's collected? Are you thinking about collecting new and different types of data, given that perhaps the federal government won't be collecting as much data? And can we do this? This is one of the things that's always kind of gotten under my skin, is Donald Trump and a lot of folks right now will say, well, we don't want to know what the impacts on Black and brown people, or English as a second language people, or Native Americans, First Nation people are, because that means that America is fundamentally rotten. No, it's just what's happening. Like, if there is a disparate impact on different communities, why should we not know about that? So when people talk about systemic problems, what we mean is that despite laws that on their surface guarantee that we're treated equally or should be treated equally, why are we continuing to see different outcomes for different groups of people? And we can deal with those facts, with that reality, because when these traditionally underserved or underrepresented communities do better, guess what? White conservative people do better too. We all, working people, do better. It's very much a high tide raising all ships. And I've always been an advocate of, let's address the fundamental realities. Let's talk about the things that government can and should be doing to make it better for everyone. And to do that, we have to know how policies are differently affecting different groups, right? Because usually things aren't perfectly equal in result. Like, we can all say, like, yes, we want laws to be equal and people to be treated equal. But does that mean we don't look at whether or not the results are turning out to be equitable, equal, that people actually are experiencing the benefits of our laws that should be treating everybody equally? So long, this is me going on. I told everybody the bit was I'd answer in 60 seconds and then I don't. Sorry, Jamie.
And it's okay, because part of this bit is also to have some really great engaging conversation. And, you know, that sparks from our listeners. So thank you for that question.
And thanks, Gordon.
Because it is really important. Yeah. And, you know, and we talk about that on the show all the time, that a lot of the things that you are going to see that make the biggest difference in your community or in your life are going to be on that local level. So yes, don't be afraid to call offices. Don't be afraid to attend the meetings and, you know, write those op-eds and whatever you need to do to make sure that your voice is being heard. So we appreciate the question very much.
I truly believe that if everybody that was listening went to a few Common Council meetings or hearings, mm-hmm, state or local government, or attended a JFC budget hearing and told their elected officials very plainly what they wanted to see, the results that they want to see, not, yep, forget like what the national political fight is on some of those, but the results that you want to see, right? Like, if it's Medicaid, I want to see more efficient Medicaid, but I don't want to see it cut. Say that. Say, I want to, yep, know what our county or city is doing to prevent lead poisoning in our public schools for our kids. What are you doing about that? Like, those are the questions.
Yep.
And when elected officials hear enough of that from enough people, they pay attention to it. And in fact, Jamie, I'll just say this. This is a very true and real phenomena. Elected officials will never hear, generally speaking, they will never receive via email or phone call a statistically significant sample size to draw statistically valid conclusions, right, about their, what their constituents say. By this, I mean to say, as a data scientist, they're not getting a statistically rigorous data sample.
Right.
What they do know is my phones got blown up on this issue or that issue. And elected officials, if you are part of the tails of the bell curve, if you are part of the group that hammers an elected official about X, Y, or Z thing, I can't guarantee you're going to get listened to, but at least there's a chance. If you say, yep. Oftentimes elected officials will do not what the majority of their constituents want, but what the loudest minority group is saying to them. And yeah. that I find to be more true in local government sometimes, because interest groups can be extremely well organized and focused. So don't let the opportunity go by. You will have a greater impact on your day-to-day life through your local government than anything else. Sorry, again, going on.
No, that's why being a participant in things like the most minute vote, even if you don't think it's worth it, that's why it's important, especially when it's on that local level. Because these aren't just people you're going to church with or going to your kids' basketball games with. These are people who can really make a difference, right? And
yes.
There's a little added pressure when you have to see that many people who voted for you sitting in the church on Sunday or sitting in the stand. So don't be afraid to make your voices heard.
Especially those. All right. Like no-show GOP congressman town halls. Like, show up for those. Those are good.
Those are just getting embarrassing for them, honestly. But that's besides the point. Oh, okay. So we've got another really great question here. Cal, how much time do we have?
Two minutes?
All right. So we're going to give you a minute on this one as well. Okay. Actually, we're going to go with an easier one because this one I was going to go with, it's going to involve
a little
bit
more thought. We'll save it for the other side. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Give me an easy one.
This is a good one. And this actually came to us from our text line from Dave in New Berlin. And he wants to know, we're going to give her 30 seconds for this one, Cal. Stones or Beatles? He says he's not a fan of either, but wants to know who you prefer, Maggie, and why. And go.
Stones or Beatles? Dave from New Berlin. If I'm forced to choose between the Stones or the Beatles, it kind of depends on like which era of the Stones or the Beatles, right? Like if I'm going to go with Stones. If those are my only two options, I like a little bit of the like in-your-face rabble-rouser attitude, you know, the disruptor of the thing, and that's more of the Stones.
Yeah.
I think.
I will say this. Mick Jagger has never had rhythm, and Ringo only had like three drums. So that's what I get out of both groups.
I also have to say this. I never had the blessing of seeing the Beatles live. Yeah. I've seen the Stones twice, and I was very impressed by their live music shows. I mean, how old is Mick Jagger? And he was out there like doing the whole thing, got the lip going and the hips. Man weighs about like 140 pounds. Skinny Malink. Listen, we're going to come right back after these brief messages. You'll hear more from Jamie and I for the second half of our segment called Ask Maggie. Remember, you can participate. Just email askmaggie@civicmedia.us. Keep it locked. We'll be right back here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
It's not the Showcase Showdown. It's Ask Maggie here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Hi, everybody, and happy Friday afternoon. I hope your week is wrapping up well. My name's Maggie. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And on Fridays, we do a little segment in the 3 o'clock block called Ask Maggie. You can basically ask me about any gosh darn thing you wish, because I will probably talk too much about it in answering your question. My senior producer Jamie and Cal try to constrain me to 30 or 60 seconds. If you've got a burning question on your mind or just an irrelevant question about nothing, that's great, too. We take all comers here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Send that in to askmaggie@civicmedia.us. Again, that's askmaggie@civicmedia.us. You also can call or text in questions, 855-752-4842. Here's Jamie.
So I did a little research during that break, by the way. And Mick Jagger, to go off of our last segment, yes, if you caught that, who you prefer, the Stones or the Beatles. Mick Jagger is 81 years old. And he actually made news this week. Well, actually, his fiance, we'll put that in air quote, made news this week. She's 37 years old.
I was like,
old.
It's She's not Jerry former... Hall, is it?
No, it is not. She is a former ballerina, and she confirmed in an interview with a French publication that was published earlier this week that she and Mick Jagger are engaged. They've been engaged for 2 or 3 years, and they really don't have any plans to get married, though. Maybe they'll marry one day, she says. Maybe not. She says they're just so happy in their current life that they're too afraid to change anything. So,
well,
if you've ever wanted to know
engaged.
What... No, it's
Doesn't
still
that,
dating.
Doesn't that, like, defy the use of the term engaged?
Kinda. Hey. It feels like she's trying to lock Mick down without actually locking Mick down. But he's 81. Are you actually going to do that at this point?
Yeah, where's he going? Is he going to really do better than a ballerina? I don't know.
Well, who's 37? No.
I suppose there'd probably be a pretty long line to date Mick Jagger if ladies were given the opportunity.
I guess. But it's not any worse than Al Pacino and Robert De Niro having babies in their, like, 80s, right? They're dads again.
Well, like, isn't That's that crazy. The Leonardo DiCaprio joke that, like, his dating requirement is that she be under the age of 25, right? It's like these, and I'll just say this writ large. We will have achieved gender parity when you see a hairless, very chunky woman in her 80s locking down a Brad Pitt hot guy simply because she's famous and or has a really big bank account.
Yes.
If somebody's got the example of that, please call Jamie and I up 855-752-4842. I would like an example of a physically very unappealing woman that is plus 75 with, like, a super smoking hot, most likely, like, highly intelligent, like a ballerina. This is this isn't just, you know, the hot girl from high school.
Right.
This is someone of a, just somebody give me some kind of similar setup, because I don't know of any. I would love to be checked on air and told that I'm wrong, but I don't know about it.
Wasn't there a TLC show just like this? It was called Cougars or something. And that was exactly the plot of the entire thing. And it was a train wreck, like one of those things where you knew you shouldn't be watching, but at the same time you were like,
this?
Really? Yes. That's
Looking
exactly
at it
what
through
you
your fingers.
Do.
Kind of like how I watched The Pit during some, The Pit, which is this new medical thing. It's kind of like ER with Noah Wiley, but it's very medically accurate with a lot more up close. There were a number of scenes that just concluded, last episode just dropped. A lot of scenes that I had to watch through my fingers because, you know, I'm not super good with the up close and personal biological realities of the practice of medicine.
Right. Yeah. There's a reason that I did radio and didn't do anything where it would require me to do anything with blood and yuck, and it just not my thing. With my kids, it was one thing, right? But then when it happens with somebody else, you're like, no. Oh, look at this. Over on our text
line. We got text line.
Chris.
Hi, Chris. How are you in Appleton? She says Tina Turner.
Yes. That's not bad. That's a good one.
How old was Tina Turner's? We got to look that up.
I don't know. Yeah. But Tina Turner wasn't, like, hard on the eyes, right? Like, she wasn't the normal, typical, like, elderly, frail woman.
I'm looking for, like, unattractive Al Pacino or, I don't know, like, Kevin. Here's what pops to mind. Now, these aren't older people, but, like, Kevin Smith. Or not Kevin Smith. What's the guy's name? Kevin, I'm blanking on the actor's name, that was in King of Queens with Leah Remini.
Oh, Kevin James.
Kevin James and Leah Remini. Like, she was smoking hot. Where's the sitcom where that's the setup?
See, and Brian also over in Green Bay says that Demi Moore was married to a much younger Ashton Kutcher. But again hello,
Demi Moore. Smoking hot. Did you watch Substance, by the way?
Oscar-nominated
movie with Demi Moore in it. It is so.
Is it good?
Creepy. It is.
Oh, okay.
If listen, not liking watching biological things. I was watching some of that movie through my fingers in front of my eyes.
Yes.
But yeah, like, I just don't think you're getting, and Demi Moore wasn't 75, 80. You know what I'm saying? Like the Al Pacino, the De Niro dudes.
When Al Pacino had his baby this last time, which that kid's like not even a year old or just a year old.
What, I was like 84?
I was like, who takes care of Al Pacino? Like, does he have his own nanny? Does somebody put him down for naps at the same time as the baby? Like, I mean, cool, man. More power to you.
Can I get a nanny? I raised
my kids. That's exhausting. I can't even imagine being that age and having a toddler running around. It's exhausting if you've ever been there and done that. It's gross. Or it can be, let's be honest. Oh, this is a good one, Cal. He says in chat, Kris Jenner and Corey Gamble. Not quite 70, you're right, but
Kris Jenner is damn good looking.
Yeah, she's beautiful. She's absolutely beautiful. Now, has she had as much plastic surgery as her daughters? That would be my next question.
Inquiring minds want to know.
I mean, let's be honest. It's okay to say it out loud. We all know that it's true.
Yeah, well, listen, a little dab will do you. Whatever makes you happy. I'm not here to judge. And though I am not a fan generically of the Kardashians, I will close this out. We haven't even gotten to a single question. That is totally fine.
Happened.
With this, I will give one shout out to the Kardashians. Thank you for making girls with good booties cool again. Like,
that's right.
That was a plus.
I can always get down with that.
Thank you, Jamie. Thank you, Cal. Thank you, Brian, Cam, Chris, everybody on the text lines, Richard from Waukesha, everybody with the great questions. We'll do it again next week. Maybe we'll just end up chuckling for most of the segment. That's fun, too. It's Friday, everybody. We're going to be right back with my good friend, Terry Barr, for what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin. It is the end of the week, and we all need to be told something good. And I'm always so excited to bring on at this time, 3:30 every Friday, my good friend and colleague from Civic Media, Terry Barr, for a little segment that we like to call What's Good, Local, and Overlooked in Wisconsin. Brings a smile to my face every week. I hope it does for each and every one of you as well. Welcome back, Terry.
Hi, Maggie. Great to be back with you once again. I have some really interesting topics, and it ties in with everything that's going on right now. If we're talking about money and tariffs and bank accounts, all of this ties to it. So I'm going to hop right into this first topic. You and I have talked about Create Wisconsin in the past. And basically, we have learned that Wisconsin is last when it comes to funding the arts, music, anything like that across the entire state of Wisconsin from the state budget. No, we're last. So Create Wisconsin is putting out a notice saying, due to the arts, there are 15,000 jobs that are filled because of the arts. $190 million comes into the state every year due to the arts. And they want a budget that includes, I love this, an Office of Film and Creative Industries. Now, for anybody that saw the Green and Gold movie that was filmed in Door County, that almost didn't happen because there were no incentives for the filmmakers to stay in Wisconsin. So it just kind of makes sense, doesn't it? And what is happening with this is the concern about the funding cuts at the national level for the arts, for culture, for creativity. And so Create Wisconsin on Monday is going to do a virtual town hall where everybody can participate, learn more, and figure out if you want to help support the arts in your local community, here's how you can do it. So I'm going to invite everybody to go to createwisconsin.org, and that is where you'll get all this information, and you can find out about the virtual town hall happening on Monday afternoon. How about it?
That sounds amazing, Terry, and I hope you keep reminding me and every one of our listeners that we are dead last in arts funding from our state coffers. And I've got a little thing to share with you at the end of our segment today that I wanted to tell you about, and I'm going to relate it back to this very thing. So I'm putting a mental pin in this so I don't forget how to relate this all back for you.
I will try to remember as
help
well.
Help me, Terry. Yes, help me.
I know. We need
There's
help
something about radio
afternoon.
Brain. It just like fritzes out after the, oh, yep, I lost the thought. That's amazing. Yeah. I hope people get involved as the Joint Finance Committee does its listening sessions across the state. Please ask your elected officials in state government, your state senators and legislators, please commit to an Office of Film and Creative Industry. Please commit some dollars, some tax incentives for people to continue to and grow the creative communities and the creative sector in the state of Wisconsin.
Well, and it can hurt us, you know, educational wise. If you want to take courses, or even if you just want to go visit your local historical society or a museum, that could all get hit.
Yeah.
So they're looking for a lot of different things in the state budget, since the federal is basically saying, sorry,
yeah, good luck to you. It's the perfect storm, right? We have this historically low, last in the country investment in our arts communities statewide, which is even more important outside of my home skillet of Milwaukee, right? Like, you get into smaller communities, those state supports, those tax incentives are even more important. Thanks again. Please keep bringing this up, Terry. It's near and dear to my heart, and I know yours as well, as a fellow lover of music and musician.
Yes. Here's the next one. Do you grow a garden, or have you started one?
I have always had at least, no matter how minuscule my porch is, at least one tomato plant. It can always bear at least one cherry tomato plant.
That is great. Well, of course, we know, again, we're going to talk about the spending. There is some worry about the cost of groceries. And we have been talking about this for weeks, if not months. So I talked with a Northeast Wisconsin woman who is getting her garden growing, and she's doing it in a huge way. So let's listen to what Paula Schultz told me for a little inspiration.
Last year at the end of the season, I didn't have a big garden. I had a small little raised bed garden, but it wasn't much at all. And I was trying to get my hands on sweet corn and tomatoes to preserve for the year. And they were either very difficult to get, or if I did find them, they were extremely expensive. So I thought, I'm going to do my own. My last count was 556, I believe, plants. And unfortunately, I had to toss out about 150 this past weekend because they never germinated. It's on my things to do if time tomorrow or the next day. And just keeping my fingers crossed that I'm not too late in the game for it. To have a good, healthy plant to put into the ground, you want to have them get the seeds into a pot 6 to 8 weeks out. And that'll give you a plant that's anywhere from 6 to 12 inches tall, depending on the conditions. That'll be a good plant to get into the ground.
What did you plant?
We're going to have 2,000 ears of corn planted, and then around 150 tomato plants. And going into the next rows will be green and red peppers. And then after that, a mixture of broccoli and cauliflower and basil and cucumbers. And watch my garden grow.
That's wonderful, Terry.
She's doing this big time. And, you know, I learned in doing this interview with her, 60% of people in Wisconsin do plan to have a garden. And those numbers are up since the pandemic of 2020. Tomatoes, cucumbers, peppers are the most popular and typically seeds that are purchased and started. And I asked UW Extension too, Maggie, and this is kind of fun. They said, if you spend about $100, now that might be a little steep for some people, and that's a pretty good sized garden too.
It is.
Here's kind of the example. If you spend $100, you could actually harvest more than 500 $100 worth of produce out of your garden.
Mm. It was, I always felt an embarrassment of riches because of all of the produce that my mom would have when I was growing up from our garden. It was like we were constantly going to neighbors' houses. But, oh, you're going out with a friend. Here, bring him a bag of tomatoes because we had so many of it. Is the best. I also have a really good friend of mine as a teacher. I have a number of teacher friends, but one in particular at MPS's Milwaukee Public Schools, Hawley Environmental School, and she is in charge of their gardening team. And so every year she will entreat me to come help with things and weed. And I am the happy beneficiary since I do not have a garden plot myself and just have my lone cherry tomato plant, a happy beneficiary of some of their amazing produce that they harvest each fall and throughout the summer, really. It's a great thing about zucchinis and cucumbers and tomato plants. And oh my gosh, lest you ever plant dill. It is dill weed for a reason. That thing will take over.
Oh, it's kind of like mint. Mint does the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And their big plants that they, herb plants that they always have a ton of are basil plants. And
oh,
so,
I love basil.
Oh my gosh, right? Like every year, right before I go up to Shawano, and you're from that area of the state too, I will call my friend up. Hey, can I come get some basil? And I will make a huge amount of fresh pesto. And that is like my, if a friend is unexpectedly coming over for dinner, oh, I'll pop that out, make some fresh linguine, bloop. Pesto, throw some mozzarella balls on there, some fresh cherry tomatoes, and like, boom, maybe a little chicken on the grill if I feel like I gotta get my protein in.
Ah, yeah.
But amazing. I wanted to share with you, Terry, something that I'm hoping that you and I can work on together. And I'm going to ask Jamie to help us with this. And I'm totally, ladies and gentlemen on the, that are listening, all of you fine people, they have no idea what I'm about to say. So I'm sandbagging them with this on live radio. I went to Marquette University's Institute for Women's Leadership annual dinner thing yesterday, which is an amazing organization. And they the evening has a bunch of different components to it. They honor some amazing researchers. They give out a number of awards. They had a panel with some of my favorite female leaders from the Milwaukee area. But perhaps for everyone that attended this incredible event last night, the highlight was that they featured a band from the Girls Rock program.
Yes.
And if you don't know what the Girls Rock program is, it helps bring young women into rock and roll. They provide lessons and training and they help them get gigs. And anyways, these were two young girls. They are in fifth grade. Their band is called Paranormal. And I can, so as a guitar player and a drummer, they both sang. And the first song that they played, they covered Joan Jett's Cherry Bomb.
Oh, wow.
And they were playing during dinner and like people stopped eating, eventually stopped talking and were like singing along and cheering. It was absolutely amazing. Then they played one of their original pieces and people lost their minds. There was probably about 400 people there. These girls were amazing musicians. They sang in, they actually had like, they could sing in harmony. So if you know music, like the third or the interval, that's what you hear most singers singing. They did that. The song that they wrote was amazing. They did Joan Jett Frickin' Proud. And after they were done, they gave some remarks. And then the drummer, she said to the room, I just want to say thanks. This is the biggest crowd we've ever played before. And everybody, yay, woo. And then she said, and the most awesome. And so like 400 plus people just, it was so cool. And they were beside themselves. And so here's the part where you, Terry, and Jamie come in.
Okay, I'm ready now.
There was a little bit of a break in between some of the speakers and the events of the evening, and I had stepped out to make a call, and I saw the two young ladies outside. And as I've shared with all of you listeners, and Terry, I've talked with you about this and Jamie too, I was a classically trained violinist that went into playing show tunes and jazz and Irish music and all kinds of stuff. And music has been such an essential part of my life forever. Yeah. It opened up doors Absolutely. That would have never been open for me otherwise. So I went up to him and I just was talking to him. You guys did great. That's such a cool song. Where'd you get the idea from? And then I said this to them. I'm going to go talk to your parents, but I really wanted to ask you ladies first. Do you have a manager or somebody that I might be able to talk to you about potentially booking you to come on my radio show and share with our listeners some of your amazing talents? And they, I haven't heard fifth grade girls squeal in a long time because that's not my typical, like, I'm not rolling out with the fifth grade, you know, girl. They squealed. We had like jumped around in a circle hugging. I didn't break an ankle in my 4-inch heels, which was on the plus side. And then it was so great. And then I went and met their parents and they were thrilled about it. So the group's name is Paranormal. I gave their folks a couple of my cards, but we're going to follow up. And I would love, Terry, for us and Jamie, for us to figure out a way to have them not just on the Maggie Dawn show, but to introduce you them to you, Terry, and the great work that you do with Rocker on the weekend to celebrate music in Wisconsin as well.
Let's do it.
Because girls rock.
And they
do. And so do you, Miss Terry Barr. I appreciate you. Have an absolutely glorious weekend. Folks, when we come back in just a few seconds, I'm going to give you my final good things to have us head off into the weekend. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tell me something good.
Oh, tell me, baby. Tell me that you love me. Yeah.
Tell me something.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This ain't Texas. You come pour some sugar on me, honey, too. It's a real live boogie and a real live hold down. Don't be a come take it to the floor now.
There's a tornado. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you don't mind my letting Beyonce play a little bit. Need a little uplift this Friday afternoon. It's been a hell of a week. Hang in there, everybody. Get some R&R this weekend. My closing thought for this week on the show, and I just want to thank everybody who makes this possible each week. Cal's been on the board. Jamie's been helping me out from Vegas, now back in Wisconsin. Thank you, thank you, thank you to Terry Barr and Dan Schaefer, who are, and of course, all of our great guests this week. Don't forget, you can get your questions added to our queue for Ask Maggie if you email askmaggie@civicmedia.us. We'll do that segment again, of course, every Friday. So as I was sharing just before we ended our What's Good Local and Overlooked with Terry Barr before the break, I was at Marquette University's Institute for Women's Leadership last night. And it was quite a room to be in. This is my second year attending their organization. If you've been listening to me for a while, you know I'm a two-time Marquette grad. I went there for undergrad. I was a very fortunate beneficiary of what was then called the Bradley Scholarship. So I was able to go there with a full academic scholarship, get an incredible education. And I also was able to stay there under a research assistantship for a fifth year and finish my graduate degree in mathematical economics before I went to Wisconsin for law school. So the first thing that I wanted to remark upon about yesterday evening was that that room gave me so much hope. Women stood up and spoke their truth. they talked about the value and commitment to serving others. They talked about how women and each of us, men and women, have a unique superpower and that we need to cultivate and respect that. We need to see humbly the superpowers that others bring to the table. We need to figure out how to add those together to exponentially have a much larger impact on our communities that we love and care about. But there was a certain amount of fearlessness, and that gave me just an incredible uplift, and we all need that. But the thing that started to come through perhaps most clearly for me, and one of the messages that just really got into my heart, and it relates back to really supporting the arts and supporting music, was this, and it was shared by one of the award recipients last night. And it was very special. It was shared by Dr. Melissa Hsu. She is in the philosophy department at Marquette University. And what she talked about was this idea that as humans, one of the ways that human beings can experience and really that human dignity requires the ability to experience profound joy. And that efforts to create opportunities for profound, experienced, and knowing joy is something that we should all want to increase in our communities and in our world generally. And she went on to talk about the elements of profound joy. And one of those elements is the experience of deeply knowing and discussing and really getting into the meat of a certain topic or area. And that profound joy can come from engaging your mind in something new or something challenging. The experience of learning is an essential element of human profound joy. And that it requires openness and candor and the ability to communicate and share ideas. And to me, we're in this moment where I think so much of what's happening is robbing us of joy and putting us into a place of fear. And that there are a lot of influences out there that tell us not to engage our minds fully, to not open our hearts, to open, candid, challenging communication and ideas. And if we close ourselves off to those things, we close ourselves off to one of the avenues in which we as human beings can experience profound joy. And in the season of spring, in the season of acknowledging arts and culture and music, and yes, challenging ideas, and yes, challenging ideas offered to each and every one of us by maybe a challenging woman in your life or that you know, I think we have an incredible opportunity to remind ourselves to be open to all of those things. Because you deserve the experience of profound joy. And you deserve that experience because you are a human being. So I leave us this afternoon as we head into this weekend, and I hope it's just as sunny where you are as where I am here in southeastern Wisconsin, to open ourselves to challenging ideas, to new learnings, so that we can have these moments of profound joy. When we learn something new, we hear something new, and we deeply engage with those new and challenging ideas. I hope you have a beautiful weekend. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together.
Come take it to the flow now.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.